Hello and welcome to Call 4, the podcast where connection counts. I'm Kim Clyden, and each week we'll explore something beautifully simple but profoundly powerful, picking up the phone and calling four people. That's it, four real conversations, four chances to remind someone they matter. This movement was created by Charles and Tracy Alder, who've spent decades supporting Australians through fire, flood, drought, and just as devastating, silence. Loneliness isn't just a feeling. It's a quiet crisis. It chips away at our mental health, fuels anxiety and depression, and tells people they don't belong. Left unchecked, it can become life-threatening. But connecting, even with a short call, can be a turning point. A voice on the other end reminds us we're seen, we're valued, and we're not alone. That's what Call 4 is about. Breaking the cycle of isolation, one phone call at a time. In each episode, we'll hear stories from people making connection a habit, community leaders, everyday people, and voices from around the world who are proving that something small can have a massive impact. So let's get into it, because the world doesn't need more noise. It needs more human connection. On the phone today, founder Charles Alder, who's going to explain to us the whole concept and what's behind this movement.
Well, Kim, I suppose over the years I've become frustrated at seeing the unbelievable amounts of money and community support for the issue of mental health in our society, yet frustrated that nothing seems to have improved. And governments are spending record amounts of money. In this year, it's over $7 billion Australian. Charities are doing their bit, individuals are doing their bit, yet the rates of suicide are relatively the same as what they were years gone by. And we hear more and more people requiring access to mental health counsellors, psychiatrists, psychologists, etc. And I've just looked at what really is the core issue behind it, and I really think it's loneliness. I think the fact that we just don't talk to people as much as we used to. We text instead of talk. And so I just think we've become less connected. And I think calling and hearing people's voices is the way that we can reconnect our world and make lives better for each and every one of us.
Well, even Zooming like we are today, we're seeing each other on screen as well as hearing each other's voices. The only thing we're missing is that energetic transfer we get when we're in someone's company. We're actually sitting side by side or talking to each other across a table with a coffee in front of us. How did you first encounter the issue of mental health?
I've had issues in my own life with mental health and depression and suicidal thoughts. And I've sort of been the stoic upper lipper. I had a lot of bullying when I was at school, and so I had to actually toughen up and work my way through it because I was in a boarding school where the rest of my family were in other parts of Australia and overseas. And so I've been watching people as the years go by. And we had an experience when Tracy and I founded Rural Aid and we developed an on-farm mental health counselling program for farmers. And that sort of brought into the modern era of my thinking the challenges that we are facing in relation to mental health. And I just thought, I want to get back to solving the issue at the cause of the issue, not solving it after we've all faced the issue. Why are we so lonely? Why is mental health such a big issue? Let's deal with the cause, not let's just deal with the symptoms of it.
You mentioned farmers in rural and regional areas of Australia, but do you think it's solely a male mental health issue, the loneliness?
No, I think it pervades both sexes. And I know that some charities that I've recently done work with, they have up to 25% of the people who call their counselling service are female. So it's not just a male thing. And I think that's one of the challenges that we have around the mental health conversation is that it seems to be more of a men's health issue than a female issue. There are so many men's health charities in Australia, for example, and around the world from what I read, yet very few charities seem to be focused on women's health. And I wonder whether that's the fact that men for so many years have been expected to stand up, muscle up, you know, work through it. Whereas women have always been traditionally great communicators. You know, they're great talkers. You know, they go and have coffees and they talk to their girlfriends and those sorts of things. Whereas guys invariably will just live in their own space. That's one of the reasons why I think the issue is more seemingly to be a men's issue than a female issue.
How do you think that's impacting Gen Y and Gen Z if we're seeing some of these issues in the boomers and Gen Xers?
Well, I suppose the younger people are more adept these days to ask for assistance. They are greater users of counselling services on an age bracket ratio. And so I suppose the older people have just got on with it. Younger people have been brought up in an era where it's okay to actually have feelings and emotions and talk to people. And so they do use the services more. But I think there's also a balance in there that these services are third-party services. They're not a real replacement for friends or family. And I just wonder whether younger people don't have the connection to family and friends like they used to. And so the issues that they face, they look for outside help instead of looking for inside help. And that could be related to trust. It could be related to broken family relationships where children don't feel as if their mother or father listens to them, so they go and find an outside source to talk to. So I think the different generations have different ways of dealing with it. But I think the one constant amongst every single person, or almost every single person on the planet, is that we all have a telephone.
Using that telephone is another thing. Often people, when they're feeling that disconnected, lonely, depressed or anxious, struggle to reach out. So why Call 4?
Well, the concept of Call 4 is relatively simple, and I've done this for many, many years, is that I consistently call people week after week to check in on them because I'm genuinely interested in other people. I've got a range of friends, probably 8 to 10 people that I would call every week to 2 weeks. And so by checking in with those people, like I do, finding out what's happening in their world, they begin to, even if they're not interested in talking to me that particular week, they know that I'm good for the call and I'm going to call them. So I fully understand and expect that there will be people around the world who may not want to embrace what we're doing with Call 4 initially, but I think once they feel comfortable with the fact that people are calling them because they genuinely care, is that the stigma of not actually calling others will actually decline because they'll actually find it's really cool to call people. It's great to hear their voices, great to hear what's going on in their lives, great to hear the ups and downs of their lives and the celebrations and the commiserations and all those other sorts of things, which we can get from, and I get every time I call people using my phone.
We're talking today because obviously we're launching a podcast as part of this. Who are we going to be speaking with? What types of people can our listeners expect to be hearing from?
On the podcast, I'd love to have a wide diversity of people, both professionals, non-professionals, people who've been the recipients of phone calls and had those phone calls change their lives, but also people across all the different nationalities and the cultures of the world, because this issue of loneliness, depression, mental health challenges that people face isn't just a Western issue. And so it's important that across the spectrum of people who we have on as guests in the podcast and as listeners of the podcast, that we reach as wide a diversity of people as possible. So I'm sure out there, there'll be professionals who've had mental health experiences in their life that they'd like to talk about, or they've had an experience of calling someone and actually changing someone's world and changing their day. I know with Tracy, my wife, she had a phone call a number of years ago with a farmer at 2 o'clock in the morning, and that call changed his life. So the power of the telephone to actually make a change in people's lives and change the mood of the moment or the outlook of the week is really seriously important. And I hope that we get a fantastic array of speakers who can shed a light on their journey, but also inspire others to reach out and make those calls.
I'm looking forward to it because, like you said, mental health is not only just personal to you, personal to me and a number of people I know and have also lost, unfortunately, to taking their own life. So I don't feel there's anything more important than rallying around this particular topic. Like you say, not enough's being done, but we as the people have the power to make a change in our own circle. Is that something that heartens you about the future of mental health?
Absolutely. I think that the real power of this campaign will be that each of us can make just 4 calls a week. If we want to make more, we can. But if I make four, that's four. But if Kim, if you and I make four each, that's eight. And if we can influence enough other people, maybe 500,000 or maybe 1 million people in a month to make a phone call to four people, that's 4 million conversations that we will have been having that I'm sure somewhere in those 4 million calls will have influenced the people who received a call to move on or to work through an issue in their life or to celebrate a fantastic success and do it with someone who genuinely cares. So that's 4 million touch points that may not be happening today. And so the power of this campaign is literally hundreds of millions, potentially, phone calls every week, every month, every year, connecting people again. And that's really what it's all about.
What is the process for people?
So the process is really simple. Any person anywhere in the world can go to the Call4 website, call4.life, and they can register, and then they can enter the details of the four people they want to get a reminder from us in 7 days to call them. So Kim, I register, and I put you as one of my four people that I want to call. And in 7 days, the Call4 website will send me an email saying, "Hi Charles, it's time to call Kim." And if I've entered your number into the page when I registered you, it's going to provide me with a clickable link that I can literally just by sitting on the couch or sitting beside the pool, I can get that email. There's Kim Clyden's name. I can click on the number and I can call you straight away. That's the nuts and bolts and simplicity of the website. There's no apps, there's no fees, there's no having to log in to get access to your contacts that you need to make a call. We send it to you every 7 days via an email. You've just got to click and call.
How do you protect people's data?
We protect everybody's data using the systems that people like AWS and our hosting companies provide us with. All the people's data is behind a user login, so no one else can access Kim's call register or Charles's call list of people that he wants to call. So that's all highly secure and we're very conscious of that information.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing more about how it's going behind the scenes. I think we should definitely have a regular catch-up to keep across what goes on once we launch and people get involved.
Absolutely, Kim. I'd love it. And I hope that people listen to the podcast. And importantly, I would invite everybody to register at call4.life. Set the four people you'd like to call in a week's time and start the process of calling and connecting with people.